Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. Blessed is the man whose strength thou art, thy ways are hidden in his heart. He treads the highway to thy dwelling, though passing through a vale of tears, thy grace, O God, to him appears. And what follows? Psalter 421, the stanzas 3 and 4. Thank you. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 22 and verses 7 through 30. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 22, the verses 7 through 30. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, that I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of him that betrayeth me is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goeth as it was determined, but woe unto that man by whom he is betrayed. And they began to inquire among themselves, which of them it was that should do this thing. And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that does serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth? Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for an indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it is pleased thee by renewal on this holy day of rest, that the doors of thy house have been opened, and that a part of the congregation may come up to thy house, the greater part is called upon to remain in their dwellings. And may it be our prayer in this evening hour, the request of those two travelers to Emmaus, where it had become night, the day was far spent, and they have asked thee to abide with them. They have even constrained thee, and then thou hast abode with them. O Lord, may the same be experienced in this evening hour, and that when by renewal on this holy day of rest, that we attempt to open our lips and call upon thy most holy name, that thou may remember us and our children with thy great compassion and with thy tender mercies. That is our only hope, because we have sinned it all away, this all undeserved. Oh, if thou would deal with us according to what we deserve, then we would not be enabled in this evening hour to walk out of thy house, but then we would be carried as a dead corpse. Then it would become eternity. Ah, Lord, may it please thee to grant the spirit of prayer and of supplication. Thou knowest of self how prayerless and how thankless that we are. But all when thou comest with the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and that is a fruit of thy dear Son at thy right hand, where he always prayeth for us, church, And may it be in this evening hour, and not only a house of prayer, and may it also be a house of thanksgiving. Ah, that thou may grant humble and broken hearts to truly become small under thee, and to be given to be wonder all thy blessings in the midst of all the trials of life, and a desire that thy name may be honored, that it may be lifted up, that it may be extolled, Lord. That is only possible by thy grace. May it also be a house of conversions. Oh, wonder-doing God, thou who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, and where thou hast recorded in thy holy word of a jailer with his household, that with the setting of the sun, they were all traveling on that broad way to hell. But then thou was sent a great earthquake. Thy servant was given to preach a sermon, and thou was used it. When they have risen in the morning, when the sun has arose, oh, undoubtedly, it was a night where they were awakened at midnight, that they have not slept further. But then we read that the jailer with his whole household, that they were traveling on that narrow way that leadeth to heaven. Oh, Lord, may it then please thee in this evening hour that thy word may be blessed for our boys and our girls, for our youth, for our middle-aged, and for our elderly ones. We are all hastening to the end. The time is short. The times are solemn, and the times are serious. And then thou wast also shaken the earth with the sending of a virus. May it all be used in thy hand for the eternal welfare of us and our children. Lord, may it end this evening hour. May it be a house of instruction, that the understanding, that the hearts of the unconverted may be opened, and that they may be given to see and to experience matters which they have never experienced before, that it may become real, a just God and a Savior, before it shall become real at the end of their lives. Do then a great work amongst us and our children. But, Lord, thou knowest that thou hast a people upon the earth whom have learned how ignorant they are in heavenly ways, and that they need him whose name is Wonderful, but also Counselor. Oh, in the life of thy children, then in that instruction from above, there lies the comfort, and to that end, may it be a house of comfort in this evening, ones, for those comfortless ones that walk over the earth with so many questions, with many riddles, with the burden of sin upon their back, with that missing. May it then be a house of encouragement for those that are so discouraged. May it be a house of the lifting up. 'Tis written in thy word of those broken reeds, with their heads hanging low, where they have no strength and no courage to look up. Even those precious invitations where thou wast said unto thy church, oh, look unto me. Those smoke and flaxes that write bitter things against themselves, and that many times are given to fear that what they thought was a true flame, a rod by the Holy Spirit, where in former days there was a time that it was clear, but it can be even in this evening hour as a smoking flax, that they are afraid that it shall all come to an end. Ah, Lord, wilt thou then blow with the wind of thy Holy Spirit? Wilt thou be a surprising God? Wilt thou grant faith to believe? Then by renewal in this evening hour, then we have read the confession of our fathers based upon thy holy word, that I believe. May each and every one be given to examine their hearts what we really believe, and whether it becomes evident in our life, because it is written in thy holy word, by their fruits ye shall know them, Lord. Wilt thou be mindful of consistory and congregation? May the many labors be blessed amongst us, shall not return void unto thee, that it shall not all have to rise up against us and our children in the day of days. We are living in the latter days. The days are so solemn. May we be given to seek for thee while thou mayest be found. Wilt thou remember the staff and the students in a time of vacation? We humbly ask thee that thou may spare and that thou may care, that thou may give refreshment for body and for mind, and that the time may arrive that our school may continue as in former years, and that thy blessing may rest upon it. Bless the labors in the family circle. We remember thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth. The labors, they are manifold. May it please thee to grant more labors in thy vineyard. Remember all the vacant congregations. We commend unto thee the persecuted church. Wilt thou uphold, wilt thou strengthen them? May their eyes be upon the King of the Church. Wilt thou enlighten the Jewish nation? Teach us that we by nature all a Jew, an enemy of thy dear Son, and a free and sovereign grace. We remember all mission work, also our mission field. Remember thy servants, the team, under difficult circumstances, where everything is still at a standstill. May it please thee to use those special circumstances that the seed of thy word may be brought to those for whom, which otherwise, humanly speaking, would not have been under thy word. Be then a wonder-doing God. Lord, remember our poor nation. Then in this week, our nation hopes to remember her 153rd birthday, where thou wast spared, where thou wast cared, where thou wast kept all this very moment. But, O Lord, We have forgotten thee, the fountain of all good. We have become proud. We have become independent. We have despised thy word. We have trampled upon thy commandments. Thy holy day is no longer kept holy, and the unborn continue to be murdered, and the seventh commandment trampled upon. Woe unto us that we have sinned. The crown has fallen from our head. And then in the past months and still, then thou hast also spoken to our nation in a special way, and to our leaders, but alas, not in acknowledgement that thou art the sovereign ruler over everything, and that thou hast to grant a blessing and no calling for repentance, and no mention of sin and guilt, but all, Lord, may we as congregations, may we be given to turn unto ourselves how it has been in the past months and how it is in this evening hour, whether that loud speaking, whether it has wrought something profitable, whether it has been for the saving of our soul. Oh, may it please thee by thy Spirit that there may be that hastening for our life's sake, and that we may find a shelter place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. Lord, remember the manifold needs in the midst of us and our children. Wilt thou continue to provide for our daily bread? Thou knowest the trials and the concerns that there can be. Wilt thou grant that dependent life? And when it is necessary, wilt thou send a raven from heaven? We commend unto thee by renewal the morning, with those large empty places in their heart, in their homes, and in their lives. Oh, do continue to uphold them. Wilt thou remember all our elderly ones, those that are weak and frail? We commend them all unto thee, the sick and the afflicted, the serious circumstances. Then we commend each and every one of them unto thee. Oh, may they be given to cry unto thee who has all things in their hand, for their body and so far that it may please thee, but above all for the saving of their never dying souls. Remember all those with sick relatives. Also, those circumstances are known unto thee, the crosses, the burdens. Remember all the family circles. Ah, wilt thou grant that love may abound? Bind the families around the truce and the old ways, according to thy holy word. And when it is different, may there be a come of falling on their knees, and what has been separated, may it please thee to bring together what belongs together according to thy holy word. Lord, then we commend unto thee the member that is under censure. Oh, be mindful of him. And may it please thee to grant that repentance, convert him, as thou hast converted all thy people. And now, Lord, thou knowest that each time is a new time. Wilt thou be mindful of us, grant yet a few simple words to speak. In all clarity, anoint us with fresh oil from above. And wilt thou remember the hearers Help our little children in church, those that are in their dwelling. Oh, even more difficult to listen, but all, Lord, may they receive ears and may they be given to listen as they have never heard before, that things may become new. But what is necessary for our little children, that is necessary for young and old. Ah, for the older ones can be so encumbered with the cares of the world, Lord. Take away everything that could be a hindrance, and may the devil be ashamed, that we may be used as a robber of hell, and that many among young and old, that they may be placed under the glorious banner of thy dear Son. Ah, Lord, do it for thy honor and for thy glory. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 368, the stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 5. Thy gracious covenant, Lord, fulfill, turn not away from us thy face. Establish thou Messiah's throne, and let it reign within this place. And what follows, 368, the stanzas 2 through 5. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 29, the question and answer 78 and 79. Question 78. Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Answer, not at all. But as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, neither is the washing away of sin itself, being only the sign and confirmation thereof, appointed of God. So the bread in the Lord's Supper is not changed into the very body of Christ, though agreeably to the nature and properties of sacraments, it is called the body of Christ Jesus. Question 79. Why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Answer, Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that as bread and wine support this temporal life, so his crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink whereby our souls are fed to eternal life, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost, as we receive by the mouth of our bodies these holy signs in remembrance of him, and that all his sufferings and obedience are as certainly ours as if we had in our own person suffered and made satisfaction for our sins to God. Lord's Day number 29 speaks of the signs of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, with three thoughts. In the first place, the serious errors concerning the signs. In the second place, the rich instruction in these signs. And in the third place, the scriptural language referring to these signs. The signs of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. The serious errors concerning the signs, as we find it in number 78. The rich instruction in these signs in number 79. And thirdly, the scriptural language referring to these signs, also in number 79. Beloved congregation, when we consider Lord's Day number 29, then there are similarities to Lord's Day number 27, where it speaks of the sacrament of holy baptism, concerning the significance of the water, the sign in that sacrament. Oh, when we read the question 78 in this Lord's Day, do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? Then it speaks, because we know that when Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus, when they have composed the catechism, then especially concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then there have come different thoughts and different ideas. And that not only concerning the heirs of the Roman Catholic Church, but there has also come a difference of thought between the followers of Luther and the followers of Calvin. Also Ulrich Zwingli, then he has stressed in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then he is stressed especially that it was a sign of remembrance. And then he did not speak so much of that of the seal, although many times when there is written about Zwingli, then it is oversimplified, and then it has become evident when we study his writings, that at a later time that it seems that he has received a greater insight. When in this evening hour, when we are called to consider the heirs of the church in former days and which are still taught in our day, then what a blessing it would be when we examine the heirs of the churches, that we may be given to examine our hearts, what we believe and what we understand concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and what a blessing it is when we are given to examine our understanding and our thoughts also for the children of God, that in that examination and the considering of the heirs in the church, that we may be instructed ourselves concerning the riches which lie declared in the sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then when the question is asked, do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ? That in the first place, that is directed toward the Roman Catholic Church, where the church, they teach the priest and the members, that when a priest pronounces certain Latin words, and it, at least formerly it used to be all in Latin, undoubtedly it has changed somewhat, but at that moment, then the bread and the wine, they were changed into the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we would say that those priests, that they had received divine power to make out of a wafer. They did not use a loaf. They were afraid that some would go lost. But then that priest has received divine power. And then they are taught that at that moment, that the bread is changed into the body of Christ, and the wine is changed into the blood of Christ. and to that end the question, and then the answer, and not at all, but as the water in baptism is not changed into the blood of Christ, and our instructors are saying, Church, then you must be consistent. If you teach that the bread and wine are changed into the body and blood of Christ, then it should also be with the sacrament of holy baptism that the water changes into the blood. Then it is clear in that church, if we would take the wine and we would send it to a laboratory and get it tested, then they would tell us that it still has the properties of wine, that it is still wine. Thus then we see the great error that has come into the church, and that error usually errs, they come step by step. And what is now so necessary for the church, also for us and our children, that we examine the scriptures, what saith the word of God, asking for the light of the Holy Spirit concerning the way of salvation, but also concerning the sacraments. That error has come in the church at a council in the year 1215 and has been ratified in the Council of Trent in the years 1545 to 1563. And then it is written that a person is cursed when they do not believe, when they deny that there is a change of substance, when the priest announces those words. If you would speak to a Roman Catholic some years ago on the plane, then I was sitting beside a young girl reading a religious book, and we had a conversation. She was a Roman Catholic, and I had to admire her that she knew the doctrine of the church, young people. Can that also be said of us, that we can defend what we believe based upon God's word? And then when I asked her concerning that wine, then she had her answer ready. She used very big words. Then she was saying that the church says that the blood is changed into the substance of Jesus' blood, but still retains the properties of wine. And how was the church and now come to that error? Then they say in the scripture, we have read it together, when Christ has instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, then he has said, this is my body. And they say, there you have it. Christ has spoken those words with that bread, that he has said, this is my body. But then I think even our boys and girls can understand what that means. Because if that bread had truly changed into the body of Christ, then with the institution of the supper, there would have been two bodies of Christ, his natural body where he has assumed our human nature, and then that bread would have also been the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then I think that our children even understand what Christ has meant when he has said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." That means this signifies, this points to my body, which soon shall be broken on the cross, and my blood shall be shed, that the church may and shall be saved. Then it is a sacramental way of speaking. The Lamb was called the Passover. A circumcision was called the covenant. And when we think of John, in the Gospel of John, then there are eight I ams. Then Christ has said, "I am the door." Then even our children understand that when Christ said, "I am the door," that he did not change into a door, but that he signifies the door to the sheepfold. And if any shall enter by that door, then he shall be saved. Then further, when we read that question, "Do then the bread and wine become the very body and blood of Christ?" Then Luther, then he has departed from the heir of the Roman Catholic Church, which we call transubstantiation. That means a change of essence. But Luther taught a consubstantiation. Then Luther has taught that when the sacrament of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ is administered in the midst of the congregation, then the bodily present, then the body of Christ is present with that administration. And to that end, Martin Luther, we have mentioned it already, with the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we read the writings of Martin Luther, oh, he was a dear servant of the Most High, whom the Lord has used as an instrument to bring the church out of that slavish bondage of the Roman Catholic Church, where the church was teaching the people that they must be saved by their penance and by their works. Oh, then Luther, if there was one that has experienced that we cannot be saved by the works of the law, oh, if that was possible, then Luther would have succeeded. But he was taught by the Holy Spirit that it is only possible by the perfect sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Luther, when he has written about the incarnation, then it was not with such clarity concerning the human and the divine nature. And Luther, with the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, then he has taught that the human nature of Christ became partaker of those divine attributes, and then especially the omnipresent, that means, children, to be all over present. Then he has taught with the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ that human nature of Christ was everywhere present. Thus Luther has taught, when the Lord's Supper would be administered in two congregations in different localities exactly at the same time, that the Christ would be present within the signs of the Lord's Supper bodily. But it is clear that Luther was amiss, and they have tried There has been a conference in Marbury in the year 1529, especially under the leadership of Martin Bucer, with some leaders of the land, with a desire that the followers of Luther and Zwingli, that they would be united, and that respect Zwingli was a follower of Calvin. And then they have formulated 15 points, and they have agreed on 14, but the 15th, concerning the Lord's Supper, then Zwingli has begged them with tears, Martin Luther, he has written with chalk on the table, this is my body. And Luther, then he would not change. If we had asked Martin Luther, Luther, when Christ has said, I am the door, has Christ then changed into a door? Then Luther would tell us, no, not at all. It signifies a door. Congregation, then we can see that in the church, that the best of God's servants, of His people, that they can err, and therefore the necessity that we receive light from above, and that we are given to search the Scriptures. Our second thought, the rich instruction in these signs. Why then doth Christ call the bread His body, and the cup His blood, or the new covenant in His blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? And then the answer, the stress is laid on the second part, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are as really partakers and what follows. But now our second thought, that focuses on the first part of this answer. Christ speaks thus not without great reason, namely, not only thereby to teach us that His bread and wine support this temporal life, so His crucified body and shed blood are the true meat and drink, whereby our souls are fed to eternal life. Young and old, have we ever been made hungry and thirsty for the precious things of the Lord? May our life be declared in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And now it has pleased Christ to appoint two signs in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that they may instruct the child of God, boys and girls, you know what bread is. That is what people eat over most of the world, most places readily available. And now that bread, what a rich meaning it has for the church of God. Then for a loaf of bread, then seed must be sown. Christ, in John 12, verse 24, has spoken concerning Himself, verily I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. so Christ, then as that heavenly wheat, then he has died that there may be a church. And now for a loaf of bread, boys and girls, what is now necessary? Then that wheat must be ground into flour. When we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is specifically mentioned in Isaiah 53. It hath pleased the Lord to bruise him. Oh, when we see him in the garden of Gethsemane, in Gabbatha, and on Golgotha, then in the next place, then that loaf of bread that is placed in the oven, a fire in the Word of God, that is many times a type of the justice of God. The Father has dealt judicially with the Son, and to that end, his body was broken. And then in the next place, for a hungry person, then what a blessing it is when there is a loaf of bread. But is that now enough, boys and girls, for a hungry boy or girl, man or woman, when they are very hungry to see a loaf of bread? No, then they have to partake thereof. And to that end, in the sacrament, then that bread is broken to signify the breaking of the body of Christ, that he has suffered, that he has died. And when a person may eat, then they become one with that loaf, with that bread. That is a beautiful type of true saving faith. Then bread sustains, strengthens, and encourages young and old. What are we hungering after? There, it is true, there are many things that we need in this life. What a cares, what a trials, what a worries there can be. But is that all our life, hungering and desiring the things of the world, needed for the time? But do you now think of your soul? And do you oftentimes think of the day of your death? And we know it not, can be in this weak congregation. And are we then prepared? Have we learned to hunger and thirst after the righteousness of Christ? Have we received those living desires and those longings for the Lord and his communion possible through the meritorial work of Christ Jesus? When we think of the wine, then those berries must be placed in the wine press. Gethsemane means olive press. Then Christ has suffered, then he has died. And now wine, many uses to quench our thirst, to refresh. For medicine, Paul has written to Timothy that he would take a little wine for his stomach. It also grants joy. Thus Christ has used us simple signs, such instructive signs, that the church may be instructed, that they may be comforted, that they may be nourished. Our third thought, the scripture language referring to these signs, let us first sing of Psalter 94, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Oh, with the abundance of thy house we shall be satisfied. From rivers of unfailing joy our thirst shall be supplied. And what follows, Psalter 94, the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. are the signs of the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ. The serious errors concerning the signs, the rich instruction in these signs, and now thirdly, the scriptural language referring to these signs. Why then doth Christ, and that refers to the former answer, why then doth Christ call the bread his body and the cup his blood, or the new covenant in his blood, and Paul the communion of the body and blood of Christ? Thus then the question is, if the bread and wine do not become the body and blood of Christ, why has the Lord Jesus Christ used such strong language and those expressions in the Scripture? That is the question that is asked. We read in Acts 15, verse 18, that known are unto the Lord all his works, from the foundation of the world. Then the Lord is known from eternity, that concerning those expressions, those strong expressions in the Scripture, concerning the signs, in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that there would come much error, that there would come confusion, that there would come division in the Church of Jesus Christ. The question is, why is Christ then used that strong language, and then congregation? Then there is one answer, and that is his great love for his church and for his bride. Because the Lord knoweth that his people, that they are slow to believe. Christ has said to the travelers of Emmaus, in Luke 24, verse 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, the child of God is given to confess, also concerning the sacraments, that there can be so much misunderstanding. Oh, in this morning hour, then we have heard of that precious invitation, look unto me, congregation. Have you brought it before the Lord? Have you begged the Lord that by his grace that you may be given to look? Ah, the child of God, they learn that their faith is so weak. Oh, it is all a gift from above. There can be so much doubt, and there can be such an attack upon that true saving faith, the temporal believer. I'm not saying they have no troubles and no attacks, but not like the true child of God. And to that end, Christ, in his great love, for those broken reeds, with their heads hanging down where it seems that they cannot look, as that woman we have mentioned in this morning hour, that in no wise that she could straighten herself out. And for those smoking flaxes, do you know what that is, congregation? A smoking flax, still a little smoke, no flame. And if the wind does not soon blow, that soon it shall be extinguished. Are there souls that they'd understand it, and now for the children of God that are so dependent, then Christ to instruct and to confirm. Then he has used that strong language as we read in the scriptures. And then the instructors have answered, but more especially by these visible signs and pledges to assure us that we are really partakers of his true body and blood by the operation of the Holy Ghost, thus to assure us. Then it goes about the assurance in the life of a child of God. And to that end, Christ has used strong language when he has spoken of the signs. When we consider the presence of Christ at the Lord's Supper, then we may say in the first place, that he is sacramentally present, signifying the suffering and death of Christ. In the second place, then he is always present with his divinity, because the Catechism has stated when it concerns the ascension of Christ, that with his Spirit, with his majesty, and with his grace, he is everywhere present. And in the third place, Christ has promised to use the sacraments for the strengthening of faith. It's not automatic, but then the instructors they have added by the operation of the Holy Ghost. The instructors speak of a pledge to assure the child of God. The Lord comes so low, does not only say to his child, look unto me, no price, no money, no conditions. Oh, look unto me, black, burdened sinner, look unto me and ye shall be saved, all the ends of the earth. But now as a help, then Christ has instituted the sacraments, also the supper of the Lord Jesus Christ, with those two signs, the bread which is broken and the wine which is poured, all points to the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, have there been times with the administration of the Lord's Supper that you have experienced what we have sung together out of Psalm 36, that we shall be satisfied with the fatness of his house and the rivers of pleasure forevermore? Then we may say that Christ is present as King, where it may take place under his authority. He is present as host, where he grants those signs and seals to the true child of God. Then he is present as priest, where that broken bread and that poured out wine, that it points to the priestly sacrifice of Christ. He is present as prophet by the work of the Holy Spirit. He is present as that heavenly physician to pour that medicine into the wounds. He is present as bridegroom for his bride. He is present as an executioner. Oh, then it pleases the King that he grants a pledge of that testament that has been made by his precious blood, that he grants a pledge of his will, what Christ has laid away for them that fear him. Thus then it is, not without great cause, that Christ uses such strong language. Also for the unconverted, that is a message, boys and girls, young people, older ones, when we read of that strong language, when we consider the bread and the wine, then it tells us that we need to be partaker thereof. Because boys and girls, without bread and without drink, then we cannot stay alive. And now we need that spiritual bread and that spiritual drink for our souls. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, the Lord's Supper that is instituted for the people of God, for the strengthening of faith. But what a message. It is also for the unconverted. The Lord grant by his Spirit that you may receive that spiritual hunger and thirst, people of God. Then also concerning the Lord's Supper, then what errors there can be in the life of the concerned church, especially in our day, that you meet those concerned souls, still a privilege and such a blessing, who do not dare to say that they have a right to the Lord's Supper. And then many of those concerned souls concerning the Lord's Supper, then they make a savior of the sacrament. And then such a soul thinks, if the Lord may now bring me to the table, they may draw me, if I may hear his invitation, and I may become partaker, then it is all solved. But the sacrament is not the Savior. They are the means of grace which Christ has instituted, that the faith may be strengthened, people of God. What a righteous lie declared in the sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, the last Lord's days, the last Lord's day. Then we have heard of those blessings to embrace, to be nourished, to experience that communion. And then in this Lord's Day by renewal, the riches that lie declared therein. And now what is necessary when we consider the sacraments under the circumstances, then they are not being administered. May that become a burden for us and our children, the parents with their children, but also for the living church. Ah, that hunger and thirst, that it may be increased, that the desire may become so vehement. Christ, we have heard that he has said unto his church that with great desire he desired to eat the Passover with them, and to institute the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. But when it is well, when it is right, when it is lively, then there shall also be the desire Oh, I know there is a church upon the earth, that there are times when it is announced that they are filled with many fears. But what a blessing it is when there may be souls filled with that hunger and thirst, with that vehement desire, that by renewal to commemorate the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, as a cripple Mephibosheth, to sit at the table of the greater David and to hear of that covenant, and that it may be experienced. What I read in Psalm 25, verse 14, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, then toward the end of this Lord's day, then we may thank thee that the doors of thy house have been opened. Thou wast yet given a few words to speak. Thou wast given opportunity unto us and our children to come once to thy house. And then we humbly ask thee that soon the time may arrive when the whole congregation may come up to thy house, when the doors thereof are opened, and that the sacraments may be administered. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Thou was granted that we may begin another week. What this week holds in is known unto thee. Thou shalt fulfill all thy counsel, but that counsel is unknown unto us. And to that end we humbly ask of thee that thou wilt care, that thou wilt provide, that thou wilt protect. Wilt thou remember in the home, wilt thou remember at work, remember on the way, remember wherever we are called to be. Ah, do keep us from sin and temptation. May we be found to be more a begging and a praying people. Lord, wilt thou keep from storms of destruction. Spread thy gracious wings over us. Continue to be a fiery wall round about us. Dismiss us now in thy favor. Bring us safely to our dwellings. And forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 55, the three stanzas. The Lord, my shepherd, holds me within his tender care, and with his flock he folds me, and no one shall find me there. And what follows, Psalter 55, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.